Oh, it's the Real Brian Show?
That is so lame.
I know. It's the lamest thing I've ever heard of.
I believe there's a hero in all of us.
You have great powers, only some of which you have yet discovered.
I'm a superhero,
a real life superhero.
The world needs extraordinary. We'll make you a superhero.
Are you ready to become a hero?
Initiating surprise in three.
This,
two,
is
one.
The Real Brian Show.
I'm relatively offended by that movie clip there. I don't know whose idea that was, but that kind of upset me. This show is not lame. But I did lie. I said we were only going to do one episode a month, and then Caffeinatrix graciously agreed to join us. So we're doing another episode only 2 weeks later. So excited about this. You know, I'm all about nerding out, having fun, ending our week right, on a positive note, all that. You know, and I think I'm excited about wanting to know what kind of trouble that she and I can get into today. So let's rock it. Yes, welcome to The Real Brian Show. Thanks for joining us. 2 weeks later, I'm The Real Brian. Caffeinatrix, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be back. I can barely hear you up over all of these cheering fans.
Well, I'm sorry. You know that it is kind of crazy. There's like millions and millions of people just cheering about how lame The Real Brian Show is and wondering what kind of trouble that you and I are going to get into today. I'm wondering, though, can we do anything?
Yeah, they're on the edge of their seat.
Yeah, can we like get into some serious trouble but without breaking the law? So like really like fine line here.
I'm sure we can. It's called civil disobedience.
Oh my gosh. Civil disobedience. Is that really a real term?
It actually is. My best friend from high school and I, we learned about it, I think, in some class. And we were like, that's totally what we do. And we'd be like, I mean, technically, like driving without shoes on is against the law. But we were like,
really?
Being civilly disobedient. Yeah, wow. I think so.
Okay.
But like, obviously, you pulled over for it because they wouldn't know. But we always used to say that. We have like shared Spotify playlists called the Civil Disobedience that we'd listen to when we'd hang out.
I love this.
It's a little throwback for me.
So it's like culturally acceptable rebels or something like that. Yeah, I like this.
I guess.
I like this. Civil disobedience is very cool. That's a really cool. So like I used to create guilds and games, and I'd call it the politically incorrect guild, which, you know, acronymed into pig.
Yeah.
I just thought it was fun because, you know, we're respectful, but we're not politically correct. And so, you know, it's like you're being civilly disobedient, but you're not being illegal. I like this. This is amazing. Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
we're going to go with this.
It's
right.
A vibe, you know.
That's the theme of today's show is being civilly disobedient. So get into this with us.
Right. Only on theme from now on.
Yeah. Hey, kids. Be civilly disobedient with us.
Y'all know what day it is?
Yeah, it is.
Thank God it's...
So ending the week on a very positive note, does it even matter? Do you even care about this anymore? Or should we just end the week on like the worst note ever? You know, fun. I'm just starting to throwing you off today. I'm so sorry. This is why The Real Brian Show is here. You won't be angry anymore. You know, you're going to be like sitting in line somewhere at the Costco gas station and be like, no, it's okay. You go ahead. Let 30 cars in front of you, you know, because who cares if you wait 3 hours for gas, right? Because you've ended your week on a positive note with The Real Brian Show.
Yeah. Aww.
I found this crazy weird drink. Now, you know, I don't drink beer. I don't like the taste of beer. One of Sarah's coworkers, or I think it's her boyfriend, right? Anyway, significant other. He's drinking this stuff. He likes beer, can't drink it anymore. And so he found this brand that creates, it is a tea, right? So there's no alcohol in it. It's just tea, but it has hops in it just to kind of simulate like, oh, it's kind of like beer, but not really. He had two chai. He hates chai. So he said, hey, does anybody want to drink this chai? And Sarah's like, yeah, we like chai, so we'll try it. So it's literally cold chai tea, carbonated water, I guess. And then it has hops in it. Do you think that would be like remotely tasty to you?
Have you ever smelled a real hop?
Yeah, it's insane. And it's intense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They grow wild, I guess you could say, maybe, ? Around the park that I live near. And I was like, whoa, okay. I've never seen just hops on the vine. And so I picked one off and I was like, holy crap, like my whole hand smells like beer. Yeah.
It's a weird smell. I remember doing it was a Budweiser tour. And then that was the main one that I remember. They have a really cool tour if you go to the Budweiser factory. you go into the hop room and that's all you can smell. And it was just so intense. And it's not a smell that I enjoy and it's not a flavor that I enjoy, no. Which is probably why I don't like beer. But interestingly enough, chai tea in carbonated water with hops is actually pretty good. It's not sweetened at all, but it is actually really good. It has a weird aftertaste, but it's actually good. I'm drinking it right now and it's fantastic. So there you go. So for those of you who
does
like
it taste
beer,
like
but
hops?
Yeah, but it's not that strong. Cause I mean, you know how strong hops are and okay. how much. Yeah. So it's a hint of hop.
Yeah.
Hint of hops. It's got a little hop, hop in your step, a little hop in your tea.
Love the alliteration there.
Yeah, I love it. A hint of hops. Some of you are going to know what I'm talking about and some of you are not. And that is the podcast Profitcast. I'm relaunching it. That's all you need to know. More details coming soon.
Actually, wow, that was a quick announcement.
That's all it is. It's very fast.
Teasing us with that one.
So I'm trying to remember the last time you've been on, and I think it was November. Is that right?
I don't know.
Has it been like five or 6 months already?
I feel like it was before my dad got married, which was in September.
Oh my gosh. You're right. So it's been since like the end of summer. So it was August, I think. July or August of last year. Oh yeah. My gosh. Okay. Yeah, we got a lot of catching up to do. So that's why I wanted to ask you because I couldn't remember. So yes, your dad got married. And there's so much going on. In fact, you told me about something that I was like, you have to share this on the show. And it's a very cool thing. So let's start with your dad getting married. What is that like? Yeah. What was the wedding like? What happened? I mean, talk about this.
It was a lot. That's the best way to explain it.
Was it good?
No, it was great.
Good.
Yeah, it was awesome. So they got married in September in Colorado Springs and it was beautiful. Of course, it was like super warm and nice every single day. And then the day of the wedding, it was rainy and freezing cold, of course, but it still was so pretty out. The venue was beautiful.
Where was it? Which venue?
It was at the Broadmoor.
Oh, nice. I like the Broadmoor.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. And that's the first time I had been there actually. So it was really cool. They have like a little chapel on the property. So they got married in there and then we went out on the golf course for the reception. So it was really pretty. I gave a toast and I was like the in-house graphic designer, which made me never want to do free work again.
Good. Yes. You learned early. Good. This is great.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
True.
Which I'm happy to help. But like when you don't have a contract, infinite amount of revisions in the work feels like it's never ending and it's taking over your whole life.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's all good. But I definitely learned a few things about doing work for free. But yeah, everything turned out beautifully. My dad wore a top hat.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Because the venue was kind of like 1920s, they both kind of went a bit art deco with everything, even like the branding and stuff that I worked on. And so there was a lot of like pearls and things from like that century. So that was kind of fun. And so all of the boys were wearing, they were passing the top hat around at the reception. And they
cool.
all got cigars afterwards and they were like having me take pictures of them smoking cigars with the top hat on.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah.
That's so
cool. That was funny. And I was like, you guys need to do that episode of Seinfeld where Kramer is smoking a cigarette and drinking a beer at the same time.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So they were all trying to do that and it's very difficult. The whole event was great. And now I have a stepmom and three step siblings.
Nice.
So that's cool. I always kind of wanted more siblings because my brother and I are pretty close.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, it'd be so cool to have more siblings and we're all like friends. But growing up with more siblings would have been a nightmare. Like we fought so much. So I kind of have that now, which is cool.
That's cool. Well, congratulations. That's awesome. It's nice to have more family, you know, as long as they're good family, right?
Yes.
Which I hope
yes,
they are.
Yeah. And I even have step nephews.
Dang. I love it. So I went to high school in Colorado Springs and there were so many events at the Broadmoor. That was like most of our school events happened there. I mean, I probably went to the Broadmoor over 100 times. It was crazy. So did you guys have DECA when you were in high school at your high school?
Yes, that's where everyone went for DECA. Yeah, I wasn't personally in DECA, but.
Okay, I was just not sure. Like, I know some schools have it and some don't, but yeah, DECA was like the big thing down at Colorado Springs. That was a big state championship or whatever. So we used to go there for that. And but I know some of
all
those venues.
Boys and girls.
Yeah. And then you stay there, which was really cool. It's good times.
Which I'm like how did a public high school afford for all of those kids to stay there? I don't know.
I think it's more like DECA sponsored and DECA covers it. I'm not sure actually how that works, but Yeah, I don't know. And then I met like a couple of astronauts there because that's when I worked for the Space Foundation, which was also in Colorado. Well, I don't know if it's there anymore because I actually haven't checked in a while, but Space Foundation was in Colorado Springs and yeah, a bunch of the astronauts came and it was really cool. Fun times, you know?
That's cool.
So the Broadmoor has a lot of good special memories for me, which is great. I haven't been there in a long time now, but...
That's cool.
Yeah. Anyway, cool. Well, I'm glad it went well. So now you got to go to New York City. Now, was this actually like Manhattan, New York City?
This was like actually just following the wedding. So I won a design award for my senior thesis project that I did at SCAD. And so SCAD was like, hey, do you want to go to the award ceremony? We'll pay for a part of your trip.
Oh, so cool.
And I was like, heck yeah, I do. So I went to New York with my brother. It was our first like sort of sibling trip that been on without my dad. And the event was really cool. There were a lot of really famous high minds in design in the room. And now I have a little like trophy.
That's cool.
That I got out of it.
It's cool, one, to be recognized, and then two, that they're going to fly you there and you get to experience it. That's so neat. Why was it in New York though?
Yeah, for sure. The award that I won was a Fast Company Innovation by Design Award is like the title of it. And I was actually the only student winner, which is really cool. So I was like a tiny little fish in a big pond of famous designers.
But that's pretty cool being the only student.
Yeah.
That's so huge.
It is very cool. I think their office, the Fast Company office, is located in the One World Trade Center building. I think that's why it was in New York, because the event wasn't in the One World Trade Center, but it was very, very close to it. It was like across the street.
It seems to me like, you know, you're pretty dang good at what you do, but I'm hearing like you're becoming famous. So you got this award. You're the only student.
Oh my God.
You're speaking at your alma mater. You're in a magazine. I mean, come on. You're on a podcast. This is a famous podcast.
Yeah, it all started with the podcast. Yeah,
there you go.
I owe it all to you, Brian.
It all started here.
In February, I was invited to SCAD to judge a competition. So they were like, hey, we'll pay for you to come down here. I had a free trip to Savannah, which I was like, heck yeah. I hadn't been back since I graduated in 2022. So it was really great to be back. The city's changed a little bit, but not too much. I got to go to a bunch of my favorite food places I would frequent and coffee shops, of course. And then I went and did a bunch of class presentations to senior thesis classes. And I got to work with the students, which is what I really wanted to do. Like, I love working with students. If I can help them through what they're going through in their curriculum based on my own experiences, like, that just makes me so happy. So that's what I really wanted to do. And I gave a presentation just about my story, my journey through college to who I am today and going to New York and things like that. So not only was it really a great experience to be able to go and talk to them, but I also got to do a lot of reflecting just through building those presentations and think about, okay, how have I changed, you know, as a person from the day that I graduated from high school to today, thinking about who I was at that point in my life versus who I am now and just how I'm different and how I'm similar. I just kind of learned a lot about myself just by reflecting. So that was cool too.
That's cool. I love it.
Thanks. Thanks so much. Fun. Yeah, hopefully it just keeps going up from here.
Well, I mean, it probably won't because life does that. It will go down. But as long as, you know, you can on the, it's kind of like, you know, when you invest in your retirement, it's like, okay, the stock market's going up and down, but in the long run, it's going up. And that's, you got to look at it like that. Even with the short-term ups and downs, ideally the long run's always going up. Yeah, that's the way.
That's true. You got to be persistent and you got to be resilient.
So true. Oh, yeah. I know. We just heard about somebody that we did not know personally, but knew of, that was found dead, I guess, just recently. And so it's likely it was a suicide situation. We're just like, there's a lot of sadness out there. There's a lot of heartache.
There definitely is.
Yeah. So you're right about, you know, just keep persevering and keep going and you got this. I mean, you got this. Seriously, no matter how hard it gets, you've got this.
Yeah. Positive things are on the way. I mean, if it makes people feel any better, it hasn't been all roses for me either.
Of course not.
Even though I'm just talking about the positive stuff. Life can be hard for sure.
I like acknowledging that here on the show because it's like, this is why probably the biggest reason I hate social media is just because everybody just looks so perfect and it's been that way. And then everybody acknowledges that and then they continue to do it. That's what I think is so funny. But it's like, oh, I hate social media too because it's so fake. And then that's all they post. They like 5 minutes later, they're posting fake stuff. And I'm like, well, whatever. But it is, it's one of those things too, where is it even an option for us to be real with people? You know, and I've asked that question before on the show, actually a couple of years ago. And, you know, usually I'll get through, of course it's okay to be real. But the reality is do you really want to know what's going on in other people's lives? Really? And most of us, if we were being honest with ourselves, we'd say, well, no, we've got our own problems. So I think part of it is just feeling like, hey, we got to be able to be real. We've got to have that safe place and we've got to be able to feel like it's okay to talk about it as long as we don't dwell on it and make it a habit.
For sure. I think that we live in an age, I was just talking to my brother about this last night, actually, where like everyone is just so focused on themselves, which isn't a bad thing. Like it's good to be selfish sometimes with certain things. But I think that we're in this age where everyone is just so selfish or they're just so focused on themselves that like we're not there for each other in the ways that maybe we used to. Mm-hmm. And maybe some of that is to blame COVID on just because we got so used to being with ourselves. But it is unfortunate. And I hope that doesn't stay that way forever.
Yeah. Sarah was talking with someone at work. So I don't have all the backstory on this one too, but apparently there was a study, and I think I might've mentioned this with Captain Influence. I can't remember if I did or not, but there was a study that was showing that people's brains have shrunk as a result of COVID because of the fact that we were all holed up in our homes and we weren't out there and we weren't seeing people. And we were, you know, like you said, being a little too selfish. And so therefore it turned into the situation where as a result, we're different. We don't trust people as much. You know, we don't socialize as much. We don't engage as much. We don't want to commit to anything. I mean, just the list goes on. And so it's actually it's like exercising a muscle. You don't exercise the muscle, it shrinks and then you atrophy. And that's sort of what they were showing is that people's brains have essentially atrophied and they haven't for the most part come back yet, which is fascinating to me because I'm like, okay, there's actually some scientific, you know, evidence there showing that. So how do we get back into that?
It's tough. I definitely feel that sometimes. Like, I'm definitely a more introverted person today than I was before COVID. 100%.
I'm kind of a no BS person since COVID. Like, I'm still very extroverted, but like, if people drain me or if they're just giving me like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you're around selfish people, I'm like, I'm out. I don't care. You know, like back in the day, I'd be like, I don't care. It's people. I just want to be around people. And nowadays I'm like, I'm a little more picky and choosy.
Which is totally fine. I'm pretty selective as well.
Yeah. I think that's where it was psychologically acceptable is self-care is a very good thing. It's very healthy. And most of us don't have enough self-care in our lives. But to be selfish, that's where it's taking it to, I care only about myself or I care about myself more than someone else, even if it means hurting them. Even though I'm not going to intentionally hurt them, but if it does, oh well. So I think where self-focus is I'm taking care of myself. Please respect that. Here's why, you know, but that could be a really good discussion to have in the future because I think there'd be a good balance on what is good and what should we be doing, but also, hey, we got to get out and, you know, like I said, let 30 other cars go before you in the gas station line. Yeah. Maybe not actually.
Pay it forward one day.
It's a little crazy, but maybe not. What were you telling me in one of your voice messages about how it's weird how you were sharing something and people were just kind of like, oh, okay, that's cool. Oh, you haven't talked about it yet. That's why. I'll let you share that one.
Yeah.
The suspense is right. Killing our listeners right now.
Okay. Whew. Well, strap in, everyone.
Yeah. You want to talk about it next time? Let's do that. Let's wait. I'm just totally kidding.
Oh, up to you. Oh my God.
I'm totally kidding.
I'm like, yeah, I'm following your lead.
No. I'm just messing with people. Don't worry. Yeah, no, but this is good because I think it's interesting. You told me some stuff and so share it, please. I love this.
All right. The other day I like left my phone on the couch and then went and did something. And then I came back and I had a missed phone call from my dad. I had a missed call from my stepmom. I had texts from my stepmom being like, we need to get you on a joint call right away. Are you able to join a call?
Who died?
Like, oh my God. What is,
yeah, exactly.
What is going on? And then she sent another text and she said, it's not bad. And I was okay, well, you're giving me so much anxiety. So I called back and at this point, like 20 minutes had passed because I was away from my phone. I was telling my dad, I was like, what's going on? Like, I'm getting so nervous. And then as a joke, he was like, Susan and I are getting married. And I was like, okay, you've already done that. Because he was just visiting my grandpa in Oklahoma and he got this message from like this random person who was like, hey, I don't really know how to say this, but I think we have like a parent in common. And he was like, what? It's not that crazy because he is adopted. We know that he's adopted. We just don't really know much about like his birth family and things like that. And mm-hmm. so I immediately was like, oh, it's probably from like your birth family, like either your dad's side or your mom's side. And he was just kind of like, at first I thought it was a scam. Like I wasn't sure if it was real or not because there wasn't much information.
Yeah.
And then this day and age, it very well could be like a way to get information out of people, which is so sad. But anyways, it ended up not being a scam. And wow. they did have a parent in common. Mm. And it was his birth dad. But it was a child that his birth dad did not know that he had.
Oh, weird. So
technically, it's like another like sort of illegitimate child situation.
Yeah.
Not that like my dad was an illegitimate child. His parents just, they got together when they were really young and they weren't married. And it was just... It was the 60s, you know?
Oh, yeah. Everybody from the 60s has random kids.
Yeah, exactly. They wouldn't talk about that stuff. Like she went to like a home for unwed mothers and stuff like that. Oh, so yeah. They have a pretty big age gap. Like my dad is like 61 and she's 47. Mm-hmm. They just like connected and it's kind of crazy. Like he owns a garage door business. He used to do HVAC as well. And she owns an HVAC business. Hmm. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Interesting.
Such an interesting like little overlap. And I saw a picture of her and they kind of look similar and she has four kids. And I was looking That's at cool. the pictures of her kids and I was like, whoa, my brother actually looks a lot like her son. And we don't have anyone in our family who looks like us. Mm-hmm. My brother and I, like, we don't look like anyone. Like even on my mom's side, we that's just cool. look like each other. Yeah. We don't even look like my dad really. So that's really cool. And it's interesting that you know, she reached out and she kind of has had some trouble connecting with the biological family. Like they don't really want a relationship. And so it's cool that she reached out to us because I'm very interested in a relationship. I think my brother and I are very excited about it. Mm-hmm. But when we were like telling people, because I was like, this is crazy. Like I was so shocked. I was excited. And people were just kind of like, oh, okay, cool. I was like, what?
I think it's so cool.
Like, this is crazy. Like, what's going on? And yeah. I think that it's just that people, I've just wondered about that for so long because my dad has been adopted. So I don't know like half of my DNA basically because he doesn't know.
Sure.
And so I wonder a lot. And it's crazy to think that like there are people out there who look like me that I don't know, that I'm related to, that I don't know. And the craziest thing is I'm in Ohio now and that's where they all live.
That's
it's
cool.
wild. I'm excited to try to get to know them better. But yeah, I think the people who aren't in the same situation, they just can't quite understand how crazy that is. It would be like, Brian, if you found out that you had a sister that you had no idea existed.
Oh, yeah. No, I know.
You know, it's wild.
It is. It is actually because you're right about not being able to understand it until you actually live it. But I've imagined stuff like that because a couple stories here. One was a friend of mine and he married for the first time in his life a woman who was divorced and already had some kids. And then they had a kid together. But then, I mean, I don't know, it was many years later that he just all of a sudden found out that he had this random daughter. He was telling me about it and I don't even know how she found him, but it was this random situation. And he's like, wait, what? He didn't even know. It was one of those, how's that possible kind of thing. And so it was kind of like almost that surprising. And anyway, so he's just like imagining that with him or kind of, you know, living that with him. It was just kind of like, that's crazy, you know, to think about something like that.
Yeah, it is crazy.
I've talked about my almost adopted sister and I talked about her on the show a while back, but it was a situation where when I was a kid, you know, my parents wanted to adopt her and it didn't work. There was just a bunch of stuff that just got in the way. It didn't happen for whatever reason. But I found her 2 years ago and now we're in touch. And it turns out, you know, she lives 3 hours north of us and we've gotten together so many different times now. And we're just like, yeah, we're just going to call each other sister and brother. It's really cool. But, you know, like she was going to be my adopted sister. And it didn't happen. But I was like, that's just cool. So freaking cool. So I can understand it from that standpoint, but not from like, whoa, you know, but I think it's so cool. I think it's neat. Like kind of having that whole, oh, that's a family member I didn't even know about. That's so cool. So I love that. That's awesome.
For sure. And at the same time, I do understand that it is tragic at the same time for others. Yeah, like it could, I think she found out and that she had a different dad.
Yeah.
Her dad didn't even know. that he wasn't her father. In that sense, there's no way it didn't sort of wreck her family dynamic, her sure. finding out that information. But I mean, nevertheless, I'm excited to potentially have a relationship with them in the future. I just think it's so cool because I have one cousin and now I have four more cousins.
That's cool.
So like, it's cool. And they're close to me in age. They don't live too far from me. I'm already telling my dad, I'm like, when are you coming to visit so we can go meet them?
Yeah.
So yeah, that was the wildest news I've gotten in a
that's cool.
hot minute.
See, and I wish, so I have cousins that are, well, they're second cousins that are my age and love them, but they're just so busy. And so we just don't, I wish we connected more and it's not for a lack of trying, but I miss that, you know, and I wish that that was the case. And then my first cousins are quite a bit younger than me. There's a lot of gaps in like my mom and her sister's ages. Youngest aunt is 6 years older than me and 19 years apart from my mom. So, you know, if that shows any kind of a situation. So yeah, it's kind of a, even though I love my cousins, like we don't talk very much. And so I wish we had more connection like that, you know? So it's like when you hear about other people that it's like, that's so cool. It's neat finding family and things like that.
It's cool
and
connection. To imagine.
Yeah. That's for cool. sure. I love it. Well, thanks for sharing that. And you're right. It is kind of, I think what I've come to learn is that when you, and there are so many situations in life where I'll share a story about something that I just find to be so cool. And I would say like the majority of the reactions are just like, huh. And it's probably because they just can't imagine it.
You can't even like pretend. I'm like, you can't even pretend for my benefit. You can see I'm obviously worked up about this.
I know. And even if you can't imagine it, like join in with the excitement of your friend.
I know. Yeah. I know. It is kind of a buzzkill when people are like that.
People are like that, unfortunately. They're just like that. There's no other way to describe it is that people are just like that. Maybe they're bored. Yeah,
and is it like that, that they can't understand, or is it just that they don't care?
I'm going to say yes. No, really, it's definitely both. It really is. Yeah, I mean, I understand for those who can't understand, but it's like, can you try to understand? You know? So I feel like it's a lack of care. It really, you know, like I was having this discussion. So 2 weeks ago when I was talking with Captain about core values, this was such a very powerful thing for me to discover like what my core values actually really were when I took it seriously and didn't blow it off for, you know, all those years. And I think one of the biggest ones that I really kind of, it impacted me, but it really helped me to understand why I am the way I am with friendships and commitments and relationships. The combination of the words commitment, consistency, priority, and desire are really, really, really important to me. So like, do you desire to have a friendship with me to the point where you make it a priority and you are as committed and consistent to it as possible? For example, or if you're like, if I'm the boss of a company, which I'm not, but let's just say I was, right? And I had employees that are, you know, do you like it? Do you desire to be here to the point where it's a priority that you're going to be committed and consistent? You know, it's always been an important thing to me and I didn't realize that, but I've just been kind of like that. And then all of a sudden, when I was reading those words, I'm like, that explains so much. And so when I have friendships or other situations where people just kind of blow it off, or in your situation where you share something and people just don't seem to care, then I start asking the question, is this friendship even a priority to this person? You know, that they don't care.
Totally.
So anyway, it's just something that I've been really, it's kind of consumed my thoughts a lot lately. And so I've been really filtering a lot of things that I'm doing through that. And even in just, again, the whole, like, I don't have time. I'm kind of a no BS kind of from here on out. If I'm in a conversation that just feels like meaningless, I'm just kind of like, okay, I don't need to be here. Kind of thing. You know, does this make sense? Am I making any sense?
Yeah.
Because your experience sparked this for me. And I'm like, and no, granted, if I'm just having a fun conversation, we're talking about TV shows and, you know, like games, or we're literally just having fun and there's literally no purpose except just to have fun, then it's still accomplishing a goal, which is to have fun. But if we're not having fun and we're not really going anywhere in our conversation, it's just kind of like, this person clearly looks like they're not interested in the conversation. And I'm just like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, I feel like everyone kind of has those friends that some of them are more for, oh, like they're just really fun to hang out with. And then they have other friends who are like, this is my super loyal, trustworthy friend. Yeah, and totally. We're really close. You know, like you just have different types of friends. And I think that's pretty normal.
Oh, totally. So
that makes sense.
And it's not even in friendships either as much as it is just conversations or people that, and again, this goes, so yeah, the word obligation here. People you feel obligated to relate with or communicate with or spend time with. Or even in situations, maybe it's volunteer activities, maybe it's jobs, whatever, maybe it's family dynamics, you know, you feel obligated for certain things, but it's kind of like, do I really need to? Should I? Things like that.
Right.
There's a lot going through my head right now, I guess. I guess I need to.
For sure. You know, well, that reminded me of there when I like had first moved here, I was kind of desperate to like meet people. And I like was so desperate that I got on Bumble because Bumble has like Bumble BFF where you can like try to meet friends. And so I tried that and I met a few interesting people. We didn't quite fully connect. So we didn't really continue talking. It's like, you know, going on an online date, but it's with a friend.
Yeah.
I had met this one girl. I was kind of looking for someone who was new to the area and also didn't quite have a ton of friends because I was picturing it as like, okay, if I meet someone like this, we can kind of glom onto each other and then go and meet more people together and sort of build a little friend group.
Yeah.
And I was like, that would be super fun. And that would be like the easiest way to do it. And so I met this girl. She was also sort of new to the area. She'd lived there about a year longer than me, but she still didn't really know that many people. And she was also sort of within the design sphere. She was more on like the film side of it. She had gotten a little bit burnt out on film and decided she wanted to do marketing for a while and blah, blah, blah. And so we were friends. And every time I would hang out with her, I was like, something inside me just really does not want to go hang out. Like I didn't know what it was. And I think it was just, she was just a very serious person.
Yeah.
It was always just like, oh, what have you been through in your life? That's hard. Ooh. And although it's important to talk about that, it was like all we talked about. It was just always heavy, heavy conversation. Oh, And it took a lot out of me. And I was like, oh, to the point where I dreaded like hanging out. I felt like kind of stuck. And I was like, I don't know how to like sort of get out of this relationship because I kept trying to make it work. And then I burnt myself out on the friendship.
Yeah,
because I kept going to hang out with her and I just absolutely didn't want to do it. And it was unfair to me and it was unfair to her. Mm-hmm. And then she hated Cincinnati. So she ended up moving home. So that was kind of my out of the relationship. Burnout can happen with people too.
Oh, for sure.
It happened to me.
That's a really interesting perspective too, because, you know, on one hand, I feel bad for her. I don't know. People have personalities where they love the heaviness. And I know people like that. That's just what they love getting into. They love like the deep, dark, serious heaviness of life and psyche and everything. And they just love that. They thrive on it. To each their own, right? But I feel like a lot of people kind of get into that, not necessarily intentionally. They kind of fall into that and then they have a hard time getting out. And so I kind of feel bad for her if that's the case, like if she fell into that and has trying to figure out a way out. But you're right. Like as a recipient of that, even I don't like that because you know me, like one of my primary things is fun. And so like you get involved in these kind of groups and you know, there's like study groups or other things like that too. And you're just like, I don't really want to, it's, you know, it's like homework or it's like work. I just want to go have fun. That's it. That's all I want to do is want to go have a good time.
Exactly.
But for me too, it's not even about getting deep with people. Like, so tell me about your problems. I don't even need to talk about that. It's more of that, like you're talking about, is that person you're essentially your wingman. Wingwoman, wingman, right? Yeah. And it's like, you know, they got your back. You know, you've got their back and everything like that. And you're just out there and you're just kind of living life together. That I think is kind of the dynamic that I think that I wish there was more of. And it's not even necessarily with person, but like a group, you know, you hear about these tight knit groups. In fact, I heard this one guy, I want to say he was in his 80s when I heard this. And he was talking about this group of friends that have been together since like high school or something like that. And I just thought, this is crazy. Like, I don't think I've ever had friends that long. Like, I mean, I haven't. I'm not 80, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I've never had friends that would ever. My high school friends are long gone.
No, because you grow apart.
Yeah, but they didn't. Yeah, you grow apart. That's crazy. I don't know. I think it's cool.
It totally does. I definitely grew apart from my high school friends. I hope they're doing good. We just went down different paths and that's totally fine. Yeah, I hope they're doing great. But yeah, so it is very interesting. And with that girl specifically, I was always like, I felt like she knew a lot of like deep stuff about me, which I was totally fine sharing. Like, I consider myself to be a pretty open book, mm-hmm. especially if people ask me about that stuff. Like, she wanted to know. So I was like, sure, here you go. But then at the same time, I'd be like, yeah, like, let's go do something fun. Like, we don't always totally. Have to talk about serious stuff. What's your favorite color? And she'd be like, my favorite color is irrelevant.
Black, like my life.
I was like, okay, so I don't know anything actually about you, but I know about your trauma.
Did she really say irrelevant?
Yeah, she was just like, that doesn't matter. I was like, okay.
Oh my really gosh. Fun. I love that. Not really, but I think that's... So that reminds me of the girl in Ghostbusters. Have you seen the movies? The new ones?
I have not seen the... The most recent one that I've seen is the one with like Kristen Wiig.
Oh gosh. No offense. Which was... I thought that one was absolutely awful. Awful.
Like, I will say, I was listening to a podcast and they had someone on the podcast about it. And they were saying that the script and everything was like so great. And they left the movie like filming feeling so great. And then they just completely edited it in a horrific way. And it like everyone who was in the movie felt super confident. And then at the premiere, they watched the movie and they were like, this is horrible.
Interesting. I wonder if that really, cause you know, that can happen. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I was, but anyway, there was a lot of stuff that was, well, anyway, I'm talking about the 2021 and then the one that just came out, Ghostbusters, which were tie-ins to basically
the original guys.
Yeah. Tie-ins to Ghostbusters 1 and 2. The girl that plays Phoebe, McKenna Grace, she plays this very interesting character. But when you said, like, what's your favorite color? And you said, my favorite color is irrelevant. Like, that's exactly what that character would say. It's just, that's why I was laughing. So I just wanted to say that in the first movie, that character, she was cute. It was a cute, nerdy, very, you know, matter of fact, doesn't really want to have a whole lot of fun, very serious kind of character. In the second one, they made her all like teenage, angsty, brooding, kind of just, you know, heavy. And I was like, oh man. Like, they kind of ruined her in the second movie in a way. Like, she was still fine, but like, she was my favorite character in the first movie. And in the second one, I was like, yeah, no, I'm good. So it was just kind of funny because you're right. Like, people, now granted, for those of you who relate to that type of personality, awesome. I don't. And so
it's not me.
Yeah. It's fun to interact with people like that on a very small amount, you know, but she's kind of the focus of both of the movies. And so I was just kind of like, yeah, you know, it was okay. But I got to tell you, I still had a good time with the movie. I know it didn't get good ratings, but I really enjoyed it. In fact, Johnny Pistolshot and I saw it and we were just like, that was actually just fun. We just enjoyed it. It was a good time. I know there was a lot of like nostalgic kind of throwback, but it was just a good time. But you have seen the Fallout series. Have you watched all of the episodes or are you just starting them? Because I'm only through episode 2, so no spoilers.
Okay, I won't spoil it.
Yeah. What do you think? First of all, what even drew you to watch that show? Have you played the games?
Nico, actually.
Okay.
I haven't played the games, but he had, and he was like, oh my God, there's a show about this. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. Okay. So I just kind of started, I started watching it with him and I was like, whoa, like this is actually pretty interesting.
Yeah.
And I kind of like shows like that. Like, it kind of, in a way, reminded me of Umbrella Academy in the slightest.
That show was fun.
Just in like the way I love the Umbrella Academy and like
season 3 is coming
out
this year.
The way that it was shot and I know, I'm so excited.
Sorry.
I'll have to get my Netflix back for it.
Yeah.
But like the way that it was shot and the music that they play and things like that. And the storyline was just good. And the fact that it's kind of like sort of dealing with this past, present, future type thing. And you're kind of the whole time like trying to figure out what's even going on. And at the end, like the last episode, you kind of figure out like, oh my gosh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And it set it up well for season 2, but it didn't like leave you on a dire cliffhanger. You know what I mean? It still left you on a cliffhanger, but you're like, okay, I can wait.
Okay, good. That's interesting. Well, I'm really glad you liked it. Good. I actually have never played the games myself either. And so the only reason I know about them is that when Johnny and I were roommates in college, he used to play the game. And I remember like how the game would start off and it would play like this old 1930s, 40s song kind of thing, you know? And I'd be like, this is so cool. And then all of a sudden, like, you know, this thing, this door would open up and somebody had like a Gatling gun and would just mow down all the people. And you're like, that is so gruesome. Like, what is going on right now?
It's this mix of like utopia and tragedy.
Yeah. That was my knowledge of Fallout. And then just hearing what everybody else has said about it, saying, oh, the story's incredible. It's great. I'm not into the post-apocalyptic stuff as much as most other people are. But I thought, I'm going to watch this. And so the Wednesday night guys, the game night guys are like, let's watch this together online. And then we'll do like Mystery Science Theater comments. And, you know, that's kind of fun stuff. So we started watching it. We loved the first episode. And then everyone's like, don't watch it until next week. And so that was 2 weeks ago. Yeah, 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago now or whatever.
Oh, we binged the whole thing.
Well, we were going to, but then it's like, no, let's watch it, you know, together every week. And it's going to take us forever to get through it. But
that's kind of cute.
It is kind of fun, actually. Yeah. I was like, we don't, because, you know, it's like old days of like, hey, let's get together and watch a show. But then now that everybody's, you know, living apart and stuff, it's like, well, we don't do that anymore. But it's like, well, let's do this. It's like going to a movie, except we'll watch it online together.
Right.
So episode two was the one we just watched. And I thought, yeah, you know, it was okay. It wasn't as good. You know what's so funny, though, is that the main girl who, gosh, she's been in a bunch of stuff. And actually, I've liked her as an actress.
She has?
Oh, yeah. Well,
yeah, I thought she was good in it.
Ella Purnell is her name, but she was in Miss Peregrine's, my gosh, what was that? Home for Peculiar Children. Did you ever see that movie? Very odd movie.
I didn't see it, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, very weird. Isn't it Tim Burton? It's got to be a Tim Burton movie. Yeah, probably. Tim Burton. Totally. That's why.
Usually is.
So she played in that, and then she also voices Gwen in Star Trek Prodigy, which is an animated series, which I've enjoyed. So it's like, that's how I know of her. But Captain Influence is sitting here the whole time going like, oh my gosh, she looks like an alien because her eyes are so disproportionately big for her face. And I'm like, actually, you're right. They really are. It's just kind of funny.
Yeah, but I noticed that too.
I can't stop staring at her.
Well, during like the show, they really like play that up, like to show like the effects of radiation and whatever. And with the makeup, and they make it look like she has like sunken in eyes, basically.
Yeah.
And she looks sickly.
It's weird. And then Walton Goggins, you know, playing the ghoul without the nose. That's always really fun. He's been in a lot of stuff too.
And you kind of like are learning about his past.
Yeah.
The whole entire time, and like who he was when he was like a normal person before everything happened. So I think that's kind of fun, like the whole flashback part and
it's cool.
Everything. So yeah, I really enjoyed it. So I hope you continue to enjoy it. I'm excited for the next season.
Even though I didn't think episode two was as good or as well written, definitely did enjoy it and definitely going to finish the series or the, well, at least the season anyway, see where it goes. But I will say this,
I think
though,
it's only like 8 episodes.
I think so too. And you know, for those of you who are like, oh yeah, you know, I'm going to like bring the kids together and let's have like a total, you know, family time watching Fallout. No, don't do that. That's all I'm going to say.
It's gory.
It's got its moments.
It's kind of scary and gory. And I like definitely had some anxiety watching it.
It's video game gory. If you're into first person games, you know, first person shooters and like some of those games that just kind of get a little bit over the top gratuitous with the violence and stuff. And it's kind of more like that, but it's also kind of comedic too. So it's not like haunting, horrifying spooky as much as it is. Like they throw a lot of comedy into the show, but anyway, it's fun
for sure.
Worth watching if you're into that kind of stuff. But okay, really quick, and then we got to go already. We just, you know, we got so much more to talk about.
But gosh, time flies.
I've got to share a song that I found that is really amazing. So first of all, this is a cover of AC/DC's Thunderstruck, which I love that song. Anyway, Tommy Prophet. Do you know Tommy Prophet? He's been around.
No.
He's a guy that's going around and doing a bunch of really cool arrangements of things. He had a really cool Christmas album that came out. There's just these really ridiculously over the top arrangements of Christmas songs. And it's like live and it's crazy. It's symphonic. It's orchestra. It's rock. It's everything, you know? And he also did a lot of covers of like Linkin Park music and stuff. So here he is doing another cover of AC/DC here, but it's with William Joseph. And the first time, this guy's a pianist, by the way, William Joseph. First time I heard this guy was when he did a duet with Lindsey Stirling, and it was for the Halo theme from the video game. And
I love Halo.
Oh my gosh. You have to check out that Halo theme version with Lindsey and William. It's phenomenal. Their cover here, Tommy and William's cover of Thunderstruck, is insane. It's so talented. So I love talented musicians and talented arrangements of music. And so when I see something like this and I hear something like this, I'm just like, whoa. So anyway, I'm going to throw that into our our mix, the TRBS 2024 mix. So check it out on Spotify or whatever. Or go look it up. I don't care, whatever, but it's so good.
There you go.
There's my one song for the week. I'll share more next week or next time. Anyway.
Love it.
Okay, so here's what we discussed is that you're going to be coming on once a month. That's our goal. And so with Captain coming on once a month and you coming on once a month, that does mean that theoretically we can do two episodes a month for The Real Brian Show right now. And I might be able to even rope in one other person waiting to hear.
Oh,
and if that's the case, it's a mystery. Yeah. And if that's the case, then it would be three episodes a month, because right now it's all about, can I find people that, you know, we have a good chemistry. We can talk about stuff and, oh, hey, look, oh my gosh, you know, the time it's going so long already kind of thing. Can I do that? And if so, then we'll do some more episodes, but I don't want to do too many solos. It's not the right feel.
I get you. But I personally did like all of the solos that you did, especially because they're like shorter. It's not like they were too long. You know what I mean? Yeah. They're kind of nice every once in a while.
Well, maybe I'll just throw in a solo here and there if I have something, you know, interesting to talk about.
Yeah, you could always just sing to us.
That would be really bad. Really, really bad idea. But you do know what the music means. I'm an instrumentalist. You don't want me to sing ever. Ever.
Okay.
Yeah, that would like probably start World War III if I started singing and be like, please stop.
Oh, no.
We're gonna totally nuke you
can't
now.
Have that. Oh. It'll anyway. Be fallout.
Thanks for joining me, Caffeinatrix. Thank you so much. All right, we're out. Have a good rest of your week. Real Brian Show signing off.
The Real Brian Show is a production of 514 Media at 514mediaempire.com.